invite the congregation to stand as you are able. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, King, who comes to save us. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath.
For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me.
There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin.
For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden.
My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness.
I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All the day I go without mourning.
For my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh.
I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart.
O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you.
My heart throbs.
My strength fails me. The light of my eyes is also gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off.
Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long.
But I am like a deaf man. I do not hear, like a mute man who does not open his mouth.
I have become like a man who does not hear, and whose mouth are no rebukes.
But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer.
Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Readings from Holy Scripture today, beginning with Leviticus, selected verses from chapter 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, and when they drew near before the Lord and died, Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his house and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the people of Israel. When he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. A reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. I invite the congregation to stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel from Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted, and they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, His blood be on us and our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. O Lord, have mercy on us. Deliver me, O Lord, for you are the God of my salvation. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. We speak together our summary of Christian faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for the meditation is the Gospel reading from St. Matthew, chapter 27. As we continue with this theme of the crucified King. If you recall from last week, if you were here for midweek service, Peter was the focus of the scripture reading as he denied Christ three times. As you recall, he had spoken up in order to spare his life. But today we see a stark contrast in this Jesus. We see that before Pilate and those who were accusing him, he remains silent. And his silence before this crowd indicates his willingness and determination, you see, despite pressures from disciples and other folks around him leading up to this point, his willingness and determination to carry out the mission that he has been sent to do, and that is to take on the sins of the world and carry these sins to the cross for all people. He is the King condemned, and he is certainly fulfilling this mission as things unfold before us. When you look at God's beautiful creation, beautiful yet broken because of sin, we look around us and we see different things, animals, landscapes, all kinds of things. And if you look at his creation, you'll see among it, say, a lion, for instance, and its beauty, the great mane, large head, just the beauty with which a lion lives out in the wilderness. It certainly can be savage at times, but it's certainly one of the upper echelon pecking order animals when you look at it as terms of beauty and glory, if you will. You look at a farm, if any of you have been raised on a farm or working with farms and have had chickens, where do you look out there and you see the rooster strutting about? Generally quite colorful. You know, he's got his large cone and he's crowing and he's walking about. And there's little doubt, at least in the small mind of the chicken, the rooster, that he indeed is the king of the farm. And as you look out at the sea, or if you've ever been on a boat or to the beach or visited somewhere and you've seen dolphins swimming about, they're also beautiful in their own right and actually quite intelligent when you look at animals of the sea. But if you look at the Old Testament, when we read the Old Testament reading from Leviticus and we look at the Gospel today, we see basically two images, two goats which are brought, these are lowly goats when you read in Leviticus, and we have two men in the New Testament reading. Two goats are brought to a high status because of what purpose they'll serve, as we read in Leviticus. Two men in the New Testament. And we see these two contrasting pictures today. You see, for it was the holiest of days, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It was the one day of the year when the high priest would go through the curtain into the most holy place, the most sacred place of God's presence. And as we read these portions of Leviticus chapter 16, that meant that two male goats would be brought forward, the same age, and they would be the center of attention. They would stand before the high priest and the guilty sons of Israel. And you see, the lots would be drawn. One would be the Lord's goat. He'd be slaughtered as a sin offering for the people. The other would be the scapegoat. He would escape, but not before the high priest would place his bloody hands on the head and confess the sins of the Israelites upon the goat. And then the goat would be led away into the wilderness, uninhabited. It would be released and basically left to its own devices. You see, it's an unusual image for us, but it is an image nevertheless of how God deals with sin. And the picture and the image that we have is God's graciousness and mercy toward sinners. Through the death of the goat, God shows us how he atones for our sin. Then through the scapegoat, he shows what he does with the sin. He takes it away, never to be remembered. Like this goat being led out and released into no man's land. And you read the Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. But it's one thing to have a picture or symbol of something. It's a whole nother thing when it's real. Reality. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You see, in other words, the blood of goats won't cover us on judgment day. The blood of goats doesn't mean that anything really is taken away, that anything is forgotten. You see, all of our sins would just remain on us and cry out for punishment and separation from God forever. It would mean that our refusal and our stubbornness to drop grudges, we cannot release ourselves or save ourselves from our sins, nor could any blood of goats do that. And so all of our stubbornness, our wanting to place ourselves in first place, wanting to be served, holding grudges, not putting others before ourselves, general lack of love and selfishness, all these things, nothing would be able to handle it. No goat would be able to take that, no matter how many goats were killed. But today you hear in the Gospel of Matthew a very special day, the Day of Atonement, Good Friday. And sure enough, two male goats take center stage, if you will. One was the real goat, Barabbas, a horrible person. Barabbas means son of the father. But he wouldn't have been the son of a father that anyone would have been proud of. You see, he was in prison for rebellion, murder, and theft. He was a very, very mean and a terrible person. See, this other goat was Jesus, Son of the Father. But he wasn't a goat at all. He was God's perfect Son. He brought nothing but delight and joy to his Father. He was obedient, again, carrying out his mission. He's determined to go to the cross. And there he is on Good Friday. He may have looked like a goat by the way he had been treated, but he was taking upon himself all of our mangy sins, you see. So you have these two goats before Pilate, Barabbas and Jesus. Man and Jesus, Son of God. May as well put ourselves up there with Jesus, Son of God. But for God to have the blood that takes away the sins, one goat must be center stage. And that goat must die for sins and then remove them from God's sight forever. You hear? Die for sins and remove them from God's sight forever. And that only takes the goat, Jesus, the goat of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Once and for all, it all comes down to Jesus. Jesus has the blood that makes our release from God's judgment possible. This is the one goat of the two goats on this day before Pilate that we look to. The one goat that the Lord selected to be slaughtered for sins, he didn't commit. And then to take them out of God's sight forever, as he is forsaken and separated by his Father, that sinners might be baptized and received as God's precious lambs. This Jesus, this King Jesus, this goat, he's not difficult or stubborn when it comes to God's commandments. He takes on flesh that he might fulfill God's law for you and me, and willingly go for us the way the Father wants him to go. Picture this cruel scene of injustice. And Jesus stands there silently. He's not protesting. He's not arguing his points or strengthening his position. He could have called legions of angels to... One man, one goat stood there. And through this amazing silence, we find comfort because he's taking our sins upon himself. He's rescuing each one of us here. We read Isaiah 53:7. Jesus is like a lamb that's led to slaughter, and like a sheep that before shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. You see, Pilate's mocking him. The chief priests and elders are accusing him. No answer. Interestingly, Pilate's wife speaks the truth, calls him a righteous man. He doesn't even pick up on this and go, see, your wife, let me go. No, he stands silent. And the crowd shout, crucify him, let him be crucified. His blood be on us and our children. He doesn't explain or teach at that point. All that's done. The time is near. His hour had come for him to go forth bearing the sin of the world in order to triumph over it in the resurrection. See, Jesus had the blood that saves us, the blood into which we are baptized into a death like his. We are baptized into a resurrection. like his. The precious body and blood we receive at his holy table, and that calls us, declares us righteous in God's eyes. Jesus, our King, is the faithful Son of the Heavenly Father, whose faithfulness has been credited to you and me in the gospel. No, he's not a lowly goat. He's God's royal son from God's royal tribe, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yet, to accomplish his mission, the release from bondage of you and me and all people, the bondage of sin and death, he became a lowly goat, if you will, so that you and I may be exalted and reign with him forever. Yeah, we might look around us and see various ways things are glorified. Like a lion may show its glory by roaring and having a beautiful mane. The rooster might strut around the farm with his beautiful colors and crow loudly. Dolphins may be intelligent and good swimmers, but the King of Kings, sent from heaven for all people, shows his glory by dying on a cross and rising again to forever be our crucified King. To God be the glory. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand. We continue on page 5 of your worship folder as we speak the canticle. Let my prayer rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray as our Savior has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, you release many from their bondage to sin, death, and the devil as the healer of the nations. But when it came time to release you, the crowd chose a murderer instead. Through our co-crucifixion with you in the waters of baptism, may we continually be released from our sins as we confess you to be our everlasting King. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
O God, by the patient endurance of your only begotten Son, you beat down the pride of the old enemy. Help us to treasure rightly in our hearts what our Lord has borne for our sakes, that after his example, we may bear with patience those things that are adverse to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, our crucified King, the goat, your Son, who came once and for all to rescue us from bondage and to save us from our sins. Lord, we lift up before you in the name of Jesus, Pam and Dorothy, Eleanor and Les, Glenn and Sue, Mike, Carl, Steve, Tom, Jackie, Ken, Susan, and Vicky, and all those on our hearts and minds at this time who we lift up to you silently, Lord, hear us as we do so. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We conclude with Lutheran Service Book Hymn 431, Not All the Blood of Beasts.